Today's sermon is titled, Isn't It Funny? My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. The Lord God of our Pentecost, Holy Spirit in actions, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, or strengthen our Redeemer. Amen. Now, in our scripture, God had already told Abraham what would happen. And then three angels came and said it again. Sarah laughed, said the text. But what about Abraham? What do you think was his reaction when he found out that he would have a second child, having already conceived a son with Sarah's handmaiden at Sarah's request? Remember, Ishmael is 13 years old at this time. Well, it's Father's Day, after all. So we're going to talk about that. It's Father's Day, and Sarah's promised child is once again going to make Abraham a dad. But the man who already has a kid with another woman is having a kid with his wife this time. And this puts him, even in ancient times, in an uncomfortable position. What do we think? What do we think Abraham did? Having a child in his old age when quite possibly he could no longer have children, just like Sarah. She laughed, but what do you think Abraham did? Do you think he laughed? Brad Pitt is 60, and he has six kids with his ex-wife, Angelina Jolie. And while their marriage didn't end happily ever after, Brad moved on, and he's dating Inez de Ramon now, almost three decades younger than he is, and Inez is now pregnant with their child. And so that means that child's going to be in college when Brad turns 80. What do you think Brad did when he found out he was having a child in later age? Did he laugh? What about Robert De Niro? He's age 79, and his girlfriend, Tiffany Chin, just had his baby. And De Niro's the father of six kids already. Well, how about Al Pacino, age 83? He's expecting a fourth child at age 83. What do we think their reactions were when they found out that they were going to have a child in their old age, when quite possibly they thought that was not at all possible to do so? Did these tough guys bust out laughing? Let's talk about that a little bit. What is in a laugh response? If we were taking a psychology test, a psychological profile test, asking our first response to the word laugh, we'd probably think about, how the old poem, The Night Before Christmas, comes into my mind. And in that old poem, Santa laughs and his belly shakes like a bowl full of jelly. But there's different kinds of laughter in there. Like all things in life, I think laughter, how it's expressed, has to do with situational context. Belly laughs, these are just total fun. Now, belly laughs are the ones that we remember because we end up laughing so hard that we're left gasping for air. These are the laughs that happen when we hear a really good joke or see something so totally absurd or entertaining that it's truly hilarious. And I'm talking beyond just cute cat videos. This is stuff that is the hardest type of laughter to experience because it isn't something that happens that often. But it is... it's the most honest kind of laughter because you can't fake it. This comes from way down in our gut, and it just kind of gushes out. This is the roll on the floor, laughing your ass off kind of stuff that just takes us and shakes us. But folks who study this stuff, and researchers at Vanderbilt found that men are more likely not to do those belly laughs, but they're more likely to grunt or maybe even snort at something funny, kind of give a, or a, yeah. Well, women are more likely to give chuckles or giggles, but let's not underestimate this tickling our funny bone makes us smile. It lifts our mood, and it absolutely makes our day. After you laugh, you cannot help but smile and feel a bit of joy. But we can also just use this as a social construct, too. We can laugh politely in social situations, for example. Like when we're at work and the boss laughs in a meeting and finds something funny, then we smile and give a little chortle, too, right? We get, we rely on laughter to get along with others, don't we? And we tend to laugh to fit in, but at things that aren't quite belly laugh funny. And we also laugh nervously sometimes as a coping mechanism to relieve a stressful situation. It helps us through times when we want to give the impression that we're still in control. You think of a presentation, maybe, and a person gives a bad pun to help give bad news less of an edge, or a light joke or a memory during a funeral or eulogy kind of breaks up the energy of the grief at those kinds of events. These are defense mechanisms to reduce stress, but, you know, if it's not right, if it isn't delivered just right, it can just be awkward. We don't want to do this too much because this kind of laughter, this social construct laughter, this forced laughter, sometimes it can make us even more stressed out than we were to begin with. Now, another kind of laughter is silent laughter. We engage in silent laughter a lot. This is the kind of laughter that can have great health benefits because it's compared to engaging in deep breathing exercises or having a good belly laugh. There's lots of situations where we just kind of smile and hold it in and mindfully practicing silent laughter. It challenges us to keep our mouth closed and our faces maybe break into a smile or an open grin. There's a woman named Cheryl Ann Oberg. She's a therapeutic clown and teaches kids in cancer wards the art of silent laughter. You know why? Because it allows them to fall back asleep when they've awakened from a bad dream. And they get the same calming benefits from a belly laugh without waking the other kids on the ward. Silent laughter can sometimes turn into something called pigeon laughter, right? That's when we're doing closed mouth laughter, but we end up chuckling or humming in a very specific way. So it sounds like we have a bunch of bees buzzing around us or in our mouth, right? Where we go, by keeping our lips sealed, we often smile during these types of laughs, but it gets the same from sounding like a pigeon's coo, because it happens over and over again. We do that. And we're either blowing air in or sucking it through our nose when we laugh. Just don't do this when you've just taken a drink or a bite of food, because it can turn into a snort with rather disastrous consequences. But yeah, you remember that, right? When we're all kids, you just have an inopportune laugh, and just when you're taking some milk and it comes out your nose. That's what I'm talking about here. But maybe the best part of laughing is the contagious nature of it all. We do this when we're in groups, right? One person gets the giggles, and what happens? It's just like yawning. You see one person yawn, and you yawn too. Somebody gets the giggles, and you start laughing too, and you're like, what's so funny? We don't know why it's contagious. It's like we have some sort of laugh detector in our brains. In 1962, there was an epidemic of laughter in a school in Tanzania. It started with 3 students, and it eventually spread to 95 of the 159 students, but the teachers were unaffected. Laughing kept up in these kids from between 7 hours to 16 days, and the school had to shut down. It spread to the surrounding communities, too, such that these outbreaks occurred over 18 months and resulted in 14 schools shutting down for periods of time and over 1,000 people affected, until finally the contagious giggles passed. So let's get back to our text just a minute. We're at that point in the sermon, aren't we? I'll ask the fathers in this room and out there. Did you laugh when you found out you were going to have a child? And what kind of laughter was it? And was it different than how you normally respond? And most importantly, did you understand what a child brings and how entirely out of control your life is going to become? Did you laugh at that? What kind of laughter did you engage in and overtook you? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Our text doesn't say whether or not Abraham laughed too. But I haven't met a father yet who didn't. And I've also never met a father who wasn't completely overtaken by the awesome feeling that there's a presence, a feeling, bigger than they are in that moment, which is going to come to be at the center of your life from that moment forward. The child's going to be born. How everything has changed with just a few words. You're going to be a daddy. Did Abraham chortle, snort, belly laugh, or silently smile? My guess is probably all the above. But our text doesn't say. But on this Father's Day, I can bet you this much. He gave thanks to God. And I hope you do this day and each day too. Amen.